We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on a Teaches It Talk Crime
podcast. I forget we don't have to wait for the music anymore.
We don't. Boom, to boom, to boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, to boom, boom, to boom, to boom, boom, to boom.
Hey. Okay. All right. Hey.
Oh, man.
Happy summer vacation.
Yes. We are like, we had to like talk before this to figure out where this was falling, like where this episode was falling. And you guys are hearing this towards end June.
Mm-hmm.
End of June, like June as in Teach Your Heart Out Cruise, like, June, like then?
Yes.
Like around there?
But before, right before.
Right before? Okay, so right? Bon voyage, everybody.
Bon voyage teacher cruise.
You know? Because if you got tickets, you're going to see us there for the live show.
I really hope we have our ducks in a row by then.
You know, I feel like we're going to. Brooke has already bullied me. I'm the one presenting the case. She has already been like, yep, you're going to do it. And I'm like, Brooke, looking at all our stats, 90% of our top episodes are Brooke's. So I'm just like, they don't want to hear from the girl.
Well, they don't get a choice because I am very round and I breathe heavily these days. So...
Mm-hmm. It's just going to be so weird because we make so many mistakes when we're recording.
Ooh, do we?
And the fact that y'all are going to see probably a lot of those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't scrub them out. So.
Nope.
Oh, gosh. Nope. I'm getting nervous. Now my tummy hurt. It does.
I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited for the cruise because Brooke got to go last year and she was having a time, mm-hmm. child. She was having a time on that cruise. Yep. And I'm excited that I get to have a time on the cruise this year. But I don't get to have a time on the cruise with Brooke because, you know.
No.
She's got
Preston
in there. They
ain't about to pull me out on a rope.
That was so scary.
Y'all, they literally pulled this pregnant lady off of a Disney cruise hanging by a rope. From a helicopter because she was having labor pains, contractions, complications, dang. Something like that. She's literally hanging on the rope. You can just see her belly and you know she's pregnant.
It was a
and
Disney like, cruise?
Yes.
I just imagine her being pulled out of the water to, it's a small world after all. It, you know what I mean? Like, it's a Disney
and
cruise.
And then all the characters go to the edge of the boat and they're just like waving like they do.
It's a world of laughter, a world of. Like, I just see, you know.
It ain't gonna be me.
Oh my gosh, I wonder if she had her baby. Somebody update me.
But that's the thing is like, I was telling that story at like lunch with James's family the other day. And my brother-in-law was like, yeah, I mean, because what would the baby be? A human of the international oceans. Give this baby all of the passports. And
imagine.
I mean, like, I understand, like, where are you a citizen? Like, where, you know, like, you're a citizen of the world.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about.
Uh-huh.
That's real wild.
So, I get it. But, I mean, James and I are extending our stay while we're in Tampa for a little baby moon. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to enjoy the sunshine in Tampa and the pool and the amenities and stuff.
That's nice. That's nice. I got to get my summer stuff ready, child, because...
Yeah.
I'm just still working on, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's time to switch out my wardrobe. I got one wardrobe. I got one. And that's the one that I've been wearing this whole year. So,
and that's okay.
I got to figure out what I'm wearing on this cruise. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm figuring that out.
Yeah.
These days.
You need some new stuff. Sheen, 1-800-SHEEN.
I do. I was looking last night, but nothing was just like tickling my fancy. Like I used to go on Sheen and just hundreds of dollars in my cart. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my aesthetic is changing because I like being a comfy girl. I like being a comfortable girl. If I could wear some sneakers and some cargo pants and a t-shirt, like, sign me up.
Not in the summer, though.
Well, if I could wear some shorts with some sneakers and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, beat my face, make my hair look cute. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. I just remember back in the day when I used to just wear, like, all that tight stuff and all those high heels. Like, I'm not about that life.
You
no
literally,
more.
I can't wear nothing. Well, I clearly can't wear nothing tight no more, but nope.
Like, the only tight clothes I really wear is my workout clothes.
Right. That's well, that it. Makes sense. I think that's acceptable.
Yeah, that's about it. Other than that, I mean, I got a pair of like, what are they called? Skinny jeans. You know, those are cool, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, like the little tight body con, I can't do a body con no more.
Ooh, uh-uh.
I can't do a body can't. Nope. My body can't. That's a body can't for me. Not a body con, it's a body can't. Because it can't go on my body.
Yep. Nope. My love handles do not allow things like that.
Child, this little kangaroo pouch that I got. Dr. Miami, so. If you just want to shoom real quick, like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something. It's something out here. But yeah. So we're on summer vacay. I'm hoping you have a great summer.
Yes.
And live it up.
Yeah.
Have a White Claw for me, please. Mm. Everyone, when you go out for the summer, just think of me and have a White Claw in my honor.
You pumping?
I'm gonna pump.
Solid. You could pump it up, you know.
That's actually not a thing.
Like, just pump and give it to the baby?
Yeah, like, it doesn't, like, I was researching it. I mean,
so then what you talking about? Everybody get a White Claw. You get a White Claw.
It's only June. I'm not due until August.
Oh, you're right. Why is my brain not working?
Girl.
My brain is not working. My brain's not working.
Preston, you ready to come on out there, buddy?
No. 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 He gonna stay right in there.
He cooking.
He is cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had
two. He cooking and swimming.
I had two of those leaky eggs when I gave birth to my children. they wasn't fully cooked yet, okay? It's like when you think you got a hard boiled egg and you cut it and the juices come out. You're like, dang, it's not ready. They were not ready.
When you had them at what?
24 weeks and 4 days.
So granted, y'all are listening to this episode in June. But right now, recording it, I'm 25 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, Skylar and Aria was already into the world in their little incubator boxes.
Wow.
Yes, sure were. Sure were.
That's crazy.
It's wild
look
to
at
think
them
about.
Thriving.
Like, when I hear people, like, and they're at, and they make it, like, past 24 weeks, I'm like, yay, I love that for you.
Watch me make it a 42.
You probably would.
I'm going to be one
I
of those.
I see that for you. I see that for you. I see that for you.
Yo,
like, you're going to be the one on the ball bouncing, like, I'm trying to induce this labor. Like, that's going to be your life.
Yep.
Walk around the block.
I'm going to be the like, where they're on the ledge around their block and, like, you just, like, you're, the road is here and the ledge of, like,
the sidewalk.
The sidewalk, but it's like a ledge, you know? And so if you walk on it like that, it, like, opens up your cervix, I've been reading.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's different.
We're probably going to be doing a lot of those exercises.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you get to do those cervix workouts because my cervix was like, bow!
Here you go.
Voila. Here you go.
And I'm going to start the raspberry tea leaf.
What's
raspberry
that do?
Leaf tea. I'm going to start it at 30 weeks.
What's that do?
It starts your contractions. Like, it gets Braxton Hicks going. It starts, like, helping things get
things
moving. Yeah.
It gets things flowing.
So.
Okay. I would say I would keep these tips research. For the next time I decide to have a child. But it's right now that book is closed. It's locked up.
Mine's already closed and he ain't even here yet.
It's in one of those safety deposit boxes at a bank overseas. That's where it's at right now.
That's okay.
But I'll keep it in, you know, in a file and drawer in the back of my brain. In the very slim event the very slim event that the girl decides to have another child, because these two are enough.
I think he's gonna be enough.
I mean, probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's half James. James is enough. And I'm gonna bring a 50% James into the world.
You sure are.
So
you sure are.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, he told me today before I came up here to record, he was like rubbing my belly, or I don't know what he was doing. I think I got off the couch. He's like, I told you to stop, get off the couch like that. You're supposed to roll over on your side and roll off the couch. Blah, blah, blah.
Not
whatever.
Roll off the couch. I would laugh every time.
Like, I'm just a... Like, what, sir? Like, let me live. Let me live. And then he was like, I think that you're going to make me change all the diapers. And I think you're going to be a little bit of a pushover. I said, how dare you? I said, I am not going to be a pushover. And he was like, Brooke, how many times do you get onto Ashton? And she's a dog. I said, she doesn't do anything wrong, James. And he goes, you just made my point. I said, Ashton is perfect in every way.
Mm.
Ashton is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton is great.
I mean, that's lovely. Skyle and Arya are great. They're not
they
perfect.
They are. Well, I'm talking about my dog.
Yeah.
Not my kid.
Yeah, they are not. Like, I warn people. They'd be like, oh, they were so good. I was like, really? For you?
What?
For you? They weren't arguing.
Who, my
kid? That's crazy. You Skyle or Arya? My
kids?
We're like, okay, that's a win. That's a win.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to be a pushover. One, because I see the product of pushover parents in my classroom. So
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
But yeah.
I feel like that's why I'm so, part of the reason why I'm so hard on Skyler and Arya, because I refuse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I refuse.
My kids ain't going to be the one the teacher goes home and talks crap about.
No, like y'all are going to have skills.
He might, but.
Y'all gonna know how to do things. A lot of these kids, can you open this? Can you? I'm like,
nope.
There are things that my third graders are asking me to open that Skyler and Arya do by themselves. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, again.
Yep.
My kids gonna know how to do things.
Yep.
All the time.
As they should.
All
As
the they time. Should. Yes, darling. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we gonna jump into it. The estudiante yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into our estudiante yesterday, and our estudiante yesterday for today is an email that we received. Me and Brooke have been going back and forth about how to pronounce his name. If I butchered it, please send me an email with the correct pronunciation, and I will do this all over again. Okay. Because I want everybody to feel special. When you're
absolutely
our star student. So our star student this episode is Dania. And
hey,
we love Dania because she is from South Africa, child.
Shout out to all 1.5% of you in South Africa.
We got 30 listens in South Africa.
Yep.
And I'm sure some of them is coming from Dania. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the email is titled, Loving Your Podcast.
Hey.
So it's probably a 5-star.
We're going to give it a 5-star.
Yes. And Dania writes, good evening from a sunny South Africa. My teenage daughter recently introduced me to your podcast. I just finished episode 4 and wowzers, what a breath of fresh air. I'm utterly delighted that you don't only cover the crime, but also add educational value. My daughter is re-listening as I enjoy the episodes for a first time. After each one, we will have a discussion on the warning signs, how emotional intelligence comes into play, and things like understanding human behavior. You have been a true inspiration, and she is enrolled for a behavior economics course running during the SA school winter holiday. What? Not us.
Wow.
Not us just inspiring.
Right?
That's so crazy.
Also, when she said episode 4, wowzers, I thought she was about to say, y'all sound like you're underwater.
No, because we 100% do.
We do.
Like, just wait. Just wait till you get to here. Just wait.
Yeah.
Because it sounds good over here. It sounds good over here.
Yeah.
Thank you a million times over. You have given us the opportunity to have open talks around issues that many parents probably all over the world cannot always have with all knowing teens. Sending you both hugs. Regards, Dania.
Aww. This is a really good segue. Like, I mean, not just tooting our own horn, but like a good segue for parents to open this conversations up, you know?
It's very important to have these conversations mm-hmm. with kids. You know, because I feel like a lot of parents these days are making the excuse, their kids. There's certain things that you obviously discuss depending on age range.
Right.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, if we're not having these conversations, if we're not informing them, how are they going to know?
They're going to find out at school. So it's basically the question at the end of the day, who do you want your kids to be learning from?
Exactly correct. Because I know school is a very influential place. Like they have all these kids that are their age or telling them that they do, you know, things like. But mm-hmm. you want to be the one to educate your child. Because let these children educate your child and you're going to be upset.
Oh, yeah.
You're mm-hmm. going to be upset. Mm-hmm. Sure. Like the main thing in my classroom right now is, what the? I hate that.
Casey does that.
And the girls have started it. And I'm like, we're done. We don't say things like that. Mm-mm. I don't like when you say that. Cut it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Because immediately where my dirty potty mouth goes to is what the?
F-U-C-K.
Yes. And I'm like, not my child.
Uh-huh.
Not my child.
Yep.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No, I agree.
Yeah. But Dania, that was so sweet. I love that y'all can bond over our podcast. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important. Because we have a couple listeners who listen with their kids and stuff like that. And I really, truly, I love that. I mean, I feel like we haven't done a crazy happy hour in a long time where we're actually happy houring. So those early happy hours, maybe don't listen to those with your kids.
But you wait till I pump this baby out. We're going to be happy hour.
Yeah, because we're a little, you know, loose-lipped on those episodes. But all the other ones, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
Really good, you know. We made them. But anywho, Dania, I thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah.
Yay, yay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's get into it. Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
Okay, I'm going to start today's episode off with a disclaimer because we will be talking about a school shooting in today's episode.
Wow.
Therefore, I would like to take this time, to give a trigger warning to anyone not in the headspace to hear a case like this.
Okay.
We completely understand if this is hard for you to hear and you would like to skip to next week's episode, feel free to do so. We will have more content next week and hope that you can come back when it's more appropriate for you.
Okay. We haven't done one of these in a while.
In 1978, Austin, Texas was much smaller then than it is now. It was a simple city, not yet developed. The housing market was nowhere near what it is today, and the traffic, well, what was traffic back then? It was a time when a young boy could casually stroll to school and miss the bustling morning rush down a grassy hill and into a school building, rifle in hand, without so much as a second glance from a passerby. It was a time where school shootings were unheard of in Austin, Texas. Well, kind of anywhere for that matter. This is not a case I have been very familiar with, but a listener, Alexandra, actually sent this case to us recently, and I was instantly intrigued. This is the case of the Murchison Middle School teacher, Mr. Wilbur Rod Grayson, who was fatally shot by his 13-year-old student, John Daniel Christian, by a .22-caliber rifle on May 18, 1978. In front of 21 other eighth graders. Mr. Grayson, 29 years old, was a motivated first-year teacher just trying to make it through the school year.
Dang.
Mr. Grayson, according to witnesses, was sitting on a stool about to start his morning meditation with his students when John Daniel walked in. Mr. Grayson saw the rifle as John Daniel was raising it and said, "The joke is up." Believing this wasn't real when John Daniel then shot Mr. Grayson 3 times in the head, chest, and arm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. John Daniel Christian. What are you doing, man?
Right?
We were just about
to start morning meditation.
Right? A little SEL in the morning?
Like.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Wow.
You need to be in here meditating, John Daniel.
I know you said, like, when you, in the beginning, like, he's just walking around with this gun and no one's going to turn, like, a blind child. I'm going to be like, where is he going with that?
In 1978.
I feel like in any year, I'll be like, where is he going with that?
That's true. I feel like now, though, like, you know what I mean? Like, because it's just, this didn't happen back then.
Yeah. I feel like now it wouldn't be so open because 9 times out of 10, they're not openly. You know what I mean? It's like concealed and they're getting in the building and doing their thing. Like,
correct.
Now, which like, before, I guess they were just, you know, just.
Yeah. I don't know.
Out there.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rod Grayson interviewed for his teaching position in 1977 for an opening in English to the gifted and talented students. Mm. So basically, in today's terms, he taught the accelerated kids English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the time, he was 28 years old and unemployed. He was married to his wife, Laura, who was also a teacher at Austin's LBJ High School. She had just given birth to their son, Ian.
Oh.
Mr. Grayson did not follow in his father's footsteps as an employee in the oil industry, who was also not really in approval of his marriage to the newly bride, Laura, who was a Mexican-American woman.
Hmm.
Grayson actually never really saw himself as a teacher, but was a true free spirit who wrote poetry, smoked weed, and had dreams of being an actor. However, he needed an income and a steady income.
Mm.
And what other profession provides that? Teaching.
Mm.
When his wife became pregnant, which is exactly what pushed him into the classroom, this is where he would thrive and live out his best life as an educator. But sadly, it would also be where he died.
Wow.
Murchison Junior High School student body was overwhelmingly white and socioeconomically privileged at the time. Nearly all of Grayson's students lived in a neighborhood that housed doctors, bankers, professors, and pastors.
Mm.
His students were handpicked and all were seen as exceptional with high grades and their creative spark. He was known to push his students and challenge them in many ways. One student even went on to become a writer of 2 faith-based books. Another student remembers the impact Grayson had on him by allowing him to leave class 5 minutes early to avoid being jumped by the 2 school bullies. Yeah. Like Mr. Grayson out here doing stuff.
Yeah. He sounds like he's teacher of the year. First year
teacher?
That's teacher of the year right there.
Like, we already meditating in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We giving them DOK level 4 questions and tasks, mm-hmm. making them think.
Yeah.
And we protecting the nerds from the bullies. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, this made headlines. It was huge.
Mm.
But it lost its hype as the years passed, and most news stories do. What stood out, though, at the time of this shooting was the shooter himself, because 13-year-old John Daniel Christian was the son of George Christian, a former White House press secretary under President Johnson. Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
That's what I said.
Well.
Uh-huh.
That'll do it. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Wasn't expecting that one, were you?
I'm gonna need some more information. I need to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, John Daniel was the son of George Christian, a former White House press secretary under President Johnson. His mother, Joanne Christian, was an accomplished lawyer and patron of the Austin's art scene. The couple had 4 boys, with John being the 3rd of the 4. His father had 2 grown successful daughters from a previous marriage who had gone on to do great things but did not live with the couple.
Mm-hmm.
The Christians weren't rich by Texas standards, but their connections had landed them in elaborate social circles with professional ties to superachievers that extended beyond the Texas line. Mm. So needless to say, this caught people's attention and got everyone talking. But let's dive into John Daniel Christian and who he was. Most said that if Mr. Grayson had a favorite, they would have chosen John Daniel to be it, as they shared a love of the stage spotlight. John was truly destined for greatness, according to those who knew him, and some described him as the smartest kid in the whole class. He was an exceptional artist. Students said that his maturity and the way he dressed made it easy for adults to connect with him, as he was kind of one of them, but in a child's body.
Mm-hmm.
He was tall, slender, and had flowy hair. He barely spoke in class unless he was correcting one of his peers, and always seemed to be the most confident kid in the room. John, who was not only fond of the stage, but also enjoyed playing soccer and girls. His friend Logan said that John was well-informed about girls from the books he read, as he read many books,
mm-hmm.
and would educate Logan on the soccer field about things with girls. One classmate did mention that John's home life was a recurring theme when it came to the pressure he felt from his dad and the lack of grace they saw his parents display. The same classmate seemed to think that John reached a point where he thought he could just literally never be good enough for his parents or anyone. Mm. And this particular year, his eighth grade year, he seemed to harbor even more bitterness towards his father.
So what does it sounds like? Granted, nobody deserved anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like all your anger is harbored toward your father.
Right.
And your teacher is not your father.
He's not. And like what's shocking, because you gave a look, if you're watching on YouTube, y'all saw Ashley's look. But like I told you, like, I guess you didn't expect me to say that like kids consider John Mr. Grayson's favorite.
Yeah, that's strange. That strikes me as very weird, because if I was to think the kids who probably consider me their favorite and to think of them coming in and possibly doing something harmful to me would like throw me for a loop. Like,
But think about what Mr. Grayson said. He was like, okay, the joke's over.
Yeah.
But
so I'm wondering, was he like a jokester? Was he a joker?
So that I'm going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. However, given the family ties and who John Daniel was meant to be, there were major strings pulled and a lot of hush-hush, as you can imagine,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to this case and incident. Therefore, John Daniel spent 17 months in a psychiatric hospital, and what I'm about to say is going to shock you, because after the 17 months in this facility, they claimed that John Daniel was fully recovered from his mental illness to the point that he graduated high school, went on to college, graduated with a law degree, passed the bar, and is a current practicing attorney in Austin, Texas.
He didn't go to jail?
Nope. Not one day.
And he's cured?
He's cured.
I would just be very weary with the cured, because we're talking about, you know, a time.
Mm-hmm, we are.
A time before where mm-hmm. they didn't know many things.
Right. I agree with
you. They didn't know many things. So I'm wondering if this man went and got reevaluated this day.
Oh, yeah.
In current times, if they would be like, something's not right there.
So, and I'm going to tell you like what they like ended up diagnosing him as, but it's not funny, but what's ironic mm-hmm. is every single source that listed what the psychiatrist diagnosed him as, the sentence following was, however, we don't use this term now in 2024. So like...
So it's been eradicated.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
Yeah. So after the shooting in 1978, John Daniel had a hearing where two psychiatrists testified that the honor student was suffering from a latent schizophrenia. And that's the term that they will not use anymore in the therapy and psychiatric world.
Okay.
Latent schizophrenia. Also, he was chronically depressed. That's what they said. They said because of this, a juvenile detention center where most youthful offenders should go would not be in his best interest. Yeah.
Because of the schizophrenia and the depression?
Uh-huh.
But aren't there plenty of other people in there who are also depressed?
Yeah.
And have schizophrenia? Maybe not the latent schizophrenia. And what is that anyway? What does that even mean?
I think they just took off. I mean, because you can be schizophrenic
100%.
In 2024.
Yes. But so, what is latent schizophrenia? Like, what is that?
Right. It sounds like it occurred late in life.
Oh, using your context.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean.
But even in 1978, at the juvenile, like if he were to be like sentenced as a, like, you know, and not gone to this hospital, in 1978, the most he could have served was 5 years. So it's not like you were about to be sentenced to life.
Yeah.
Because in Texas, in 1978, the most you could be sentenced as a juvenile for a case like this was 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You would have been out by your 18th birthday.
Mm.
So.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he didn't serve anything.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
They said that the juvenile detention center not only was not in his best interest, but they said it would actually only increase the severity of his mental illness.
For what reason?
Mm-hmm. At this same hearing, they got to hear from John Daniel himself. And when he was asked why Mr. Grayson, John Daniel replied that he did not single out Mr. Grayson, but that he was just the first target he encountered. But the investigation uncovered that John Daniel had actually been upset with Mr. Grayson due to a failing grade in his class. Now, this is all alleged. This is just speculated. Now, this obviously isn't motive for murder, because if a bad grade was motive for murder, then a lot of teachers would have a lot to worry about. But it is something worth noting and raising some eyebrows about, because you mean to tell me you went and got a rifle, walked to school, walked into your first period's classroom, and he was just so happened to be the first person you encountered?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like what actually happened. And also, again, everybody considered you to be his favorite student.
Right.
So even if you disagreed over a grade, like, you know, it was coming from a place of like, look, you know what I mean? Like, this is just ain't
right.
It. You know what I mean? So to go from that to I'm gonna kill him. That just seems a little drastic to me.
It's wild, but there's more. So, however, this is what we now know about that day, according to John Daniel himself and sources online. The morning of the shooting, as the Christian family left their home to go to work or school, John Daniel stayed behind and hid out in a closet. He then went back and forth with the idea of killing himself with the .22 caliber rifle as he stood in the empty home only yards away from his school. But instead, he spontaneously walked outside, over the lawn, and into school. The class had already gotten started with Mr. Grayson asked what in the world happened with the sub that the day prior, and I'm going to get into that. So Mr. Grayson at this point is questioning his class, like, why did I get this bad sub note?
Yes.
Okay. Now, John Daniel, his house lived just yards from the school. Okay. So I don't really understand why he was hiding out in a closet, because like his parents knew he could make it to school on time. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, I don't know. Anyways. So Mr. Grayson is sitting on his stool about to start morning meditation, but he's also asking his kids like, hey guys, like, what were y'all doing? Why are we all being turkeys, you know? The students tried to explain that it was John, and Mr. Grayson said that the students just didn't understand him like he did. So the kids are telling him, Mr. Grayson, you don't understand, like, it was John. Like, it wasn't us, it was John. And Mr. Grayson's like, oh, y'all just don't get him like I do. You just don't get him like I do. So defending John.
Yes.
Mr. Grayson's still defending John. He then noticed that John wasn't in class and asked where he was, to which a kid saw him through the window walking down the hill. So he's coming over a hill. The class is like right here. And the kids are looking out the window. So a kid says, there he is. And another student instantly replied, he's got a gun. He walked in while the class believed that this was just a skit of some sort that Mr. Grayson and John
orchestrated.
They like genuinely thought this was like a skit because both of them loved theater so much. Both of them were involved in the theater constantly. They were both always in plays and doing all of these things together.
I mean, I could see that, but have they mm-hmm. ever done that before in the past?
Right.
Because right. Look, I can see us, you know, playing out little skits, but for your first skit to be you bringing a gun into this school,
mm-hmm.
That's
taking it top notch there, buddy.
You know what I mean? That's the performance. And uh-huh. you didn't even let them get their toes wet yet. And you just yeah. throwing them in the pool, like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really believe. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I wouldn't believe that that's.
But according, like, several classmates were interviewed and they were like, we thought it was a prank, like, we thought it was a joke.
And then again, was he a joker? Like,
right.
was that something that he was into? Because again, if that wasn't his MO, then why would you think he was joking?
I'm with you.
You know?
Yeah. So the class believed this to be a skit of some sort. And Mr. Grayson instantly said, okay, John, joke's over. And a classmate heard John then say, no, the joke's on you. John left the room after shooting Mr. Grayson, walking up that same hill that he had just come down. But this time, PE was outside. And the PE students noticed John throwing the gun into, I think they said, a bush or a bike rack or a bush near a bike rack. Mm-hmm. It was some combo like that. And they were like, he's got a gun. That's when Coach Larry saw this as well. And he got in his truck and he chased John down. And he grabbed John, screaming, what did you do?
Mm.
To which John just replied, I shot Mr. Grayson. Mm-hmm.
My man is unwell.
Yeah. Like, but the girl sitting in the front row that literally had blood on her, because it spattered, front row of the classroom, she leaned over thinking it was still a joke when she saw that, like, Mr. Grayson was, like, oozing blood. So they all run out screaming. No one's taking them serious. One kid runs to the principal's office. He has to tell them three times. He's a pastor's kid. He tells them three times that Mr. Grayson's been shot. John shot Mr. Grayson. John, no one's listening to him. And he goes, GD, I said they shot him. And that's like got their attention. And like admin comes down there.
Wow. Why did it take them so long? Like, why?
It's the 70s.
Like, I'm telling you, this is not for play. Somebody is shot. I'm not playing about stuff like that.
But you're looking at it through a 2024 lens.
I guess.
We don't even let kids joke about it.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I know, but.
Yeah.
I guess it's just me just being in the times. But if someone's like, oh, he shot him. Like, that's not a funny joke.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I 100% agree.
I don't know. I think it's weird that everybody's like, ah, cool. You know what I mean? But again, the times. So
mm-hmm.
it's hard to take the 2024 cap off and go back in time.
Because we've been so traumatized by school shootings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, even with his dad having power and pulling strings, there was a new district attorney, Ronnie Earle, and Ronnie thought that John Daniel, although a minor, should have a punishment that met the crime. Obviously, a punishment that's like within the law.
Yeah.
He wanted to send John Daniel to a reform school, a punishment that he felt was appropriate and not just to some mental institution. However, Ronnie Earle was unable to provide evidence that John Daniel wasn't mentally ill, and therefore the defense attorney, Roy Minton, was able to get his way in where John Daniel would be placed for his crime. Now, okay, Roy Minton was John Daniel's defense attorney,
mm-hmm.
okay? Just so happens. Now, people say there's no connection here. People say it's just a coincidence and that the judge doesn't, he's a lawful judge. Like he follows the rules, okay? He does not do anything mm-hmm. wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happened that a month before this, Roy Minton got the judge's son off of drug charges, like represented the judge's son and got those charges.
He's one of those.
There's not a connection. There's no connection. Mm-mm. That judge is, he's a good man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good man.
But it just so happens that Roy Minton also got a school shooter into a mental institution for just a little bit over a year.
And cured.
And cured him. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do with that information what you will. I don't know either man, but it just seemed a little weird to me.
Yes.
That, there seemed to be some conflict of interest.
Yes.
I probably would have requested another judge.
Yeah. But again, think about the times.
You're right.
Probably couldn't do that.
You're right. So I'm not really sure how much time District Attorney Ronnie Earle had to plan for the hearing, but I do think friends of John Daniels could have offered some insight into his change in behaviors leading up to the shooting, kind of showing that this wasn't a psychotic break, that this was kind of planned and like the behaviors mm-hmm. started being displayed.
Yes.
For example, 2 days after Mr. Grayson was killed, one of John Daniel's friends told a news reporter that he had noticed a change in John Daniel. He said he has always looked at John Daniel as a peaceful person, but a month before the shooting, he said John Daniel started becoming interested in violence and things that involved violence. This friend even spoke about some of John's intrusive thoughts. He mentioned how John would say he had fantasies of shootings at the school from atop of a hill, saying, quote, just to see how the bullets landed on people.
I don't want to see that.
I don't either.
No, I don't want to see that.
No.
Neither do you.
And this was a month before the shooting that he said
that.
I
wonder why. What, like?
Mm-hmm. Another student from John's sixth grade class said that they saw John sketch a scene of a mass shooting with red flames leaping out of a gun. Then again, in his eighth grade year, one girl was in a class play with John and said that John pretended to have a man on the other end of a phone, a payphone, that was about to jump off of the top of a skyscraper and that she had to be the one to talk him off the ledge. And he kept calling this man J.C. And when she was done trying to convince this pretend man on the phone not to jump off a skyscraper mm-hmm. and kill himself, he said, He simply thanked her and said that JC was now comforted by what she had said.
This is not games we play.
It's not. It's not games we play at all.
Not a fun game. It actually sounds quite traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why it stands out in these kids' minds.
Yeah.
Like you just pretended to have a man on the top of a skyscraper
mm-hmm.
on the other end of this payphone that's about to jump, take his life. You want me?
Mm-hmm.
To talk him off the ledge.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. Just to see what you'd say.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mr. Grayson also noticed a shift or kind of strangeness in John, with his wife recalling that weeks before the shooting, Grayson was at home grading papers and handed John's paper to her saying, tell me what you think about this. She said that she gazed in disbelief at the story because the story was written in graphic language about robots that prowled the streets at night and castrated men.
Oh.
She then said that she handed the paper back to Mr. Grayson, and Grayson simply said, quote, his parents expect a lot from him.
Not unquote. A story like that.
Yeah.
Not a story like that.
I don't even know if my eighth graders know what castration is.
Probably not. That's a big word for Elmo.
It's a very big word for Elmo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another friend and classmate, Helen Anderson, spoke about an incident that happened the day before John Daniel killed Mr. Grayson. So one day before.
Mm.
She said the following. We had a substitute and we were reading and discussing the book Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Normally very reserved, John was extremely animated, vocal, and quite inappropriate when he went up to the blackboard to discuss the chapter. Most of us nervously laughed and were quite shocked at his odd transformation that seemed to come out of nowhere. He even went to the blackboard and drew a couple in bed together and then faced the room saying, whoever can make the s sound the longest can win this piece of chalk. The sub wrote down this odd behavior for Mr. Grayson to know about. And another classmate, Ray, told John as they were leaving, John, when Mr. Grayson hears about this, he's going to kick our butts. To which John simply replied, don't worry, I'm going to bring a gun tomorrow. I believe this would have had very, very powerful testimony if, like, Mr. Earl could have got his hands on that.
Wow.
That sounds a little premeditated to me.
Oh, a little.
Mm-hmm.
A little.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Yep.
Like, don't worry, I'm going to bring a gun tomorrow.
Nah, he's not going to get mad at us because I'm going to bring a gun.
Like, say what now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, however, John Daniel Christian was sent to be treated at Timberlawn Hospital in Dallas, Texas, where his parents were responsible for a payment of $129 a day for his treatment.
A day?
Now, a day. Oh, wait. This is the 70s. Listen to this. This is equal to $637 a day in 2024 for your child to be a resident at this mental institution.
And how long was he in there for?
17 months.
Ms. Brent, don't do the math, but...
The math's mathing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A day?
A day. Yep.
You don't have like a monthly fee or something? A day?
Yep. Can I afterpay this?
Like Klarna? What is it called? A firm?
I don't know. Yep. Can I put it on a credit card?
Yeah, no. I ain't got one of them.
So. I don't either. Mm-hmm. Which I find like that inflation rate like insane. Because like, yes, $129. Do not think what I'm saying is like that doesn't, that's just $129. Oh, okay.
You I add can spend in that at Target
day part
in a hot
easily,
second.
Easily.
In a hot second.
But then I tell you what that is in 2024, and you're like,
oh. Yeah, that's throw up. That's throw up.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
A day.
Like,
a day.
That's like what some people paying for daycare because child daycare is expensive.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I think even daycare is weekly, so.
That's true.
I'm just stuck on a day.
That's very true.
Uh-huh. $600-something dollars a day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought they weren't rich.
Exactly.
He's getting his money.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Timberlawn was an inpatient treatment center with a population of 150 or so, 30 of which were juveniles, and no more of 16 of those 30 were John's age range. Timberlawn offered a full academic curriculum as well as group and individual therapy sessions. John Daniel remained at Timberlawn for a year and a half, and Timberlawn was closed down in 2018. After his release, he then went... This is the weird part, okay? After his release, he then went into foster care and lived with a doctor who would continue to treat him further, but also would later become his adopted father.
Where are his
John
parents?
Eisenlohr. Okay. So they, so I was reading several things. Mm-hmm. One source, and I did put this in here, one source said that his family had very little to do with him after this incident. And that's why he went to live with the doctor. But like, that was only one source.
Okay.
Then there was a journalist that wrote like the Texas Times or the Texas something. I can't remember what it was. It's linked. Y'all can go read it. And he actually tracked down the dad, and the dad like wouldn't let him like run the article, but he was basically like, yeah, we just think it's best if we stay away. We just don't talk to him as much because we don't think it's best for him, but we still fight for him in like the legal sense. And
it just sounds like you paid to keep him locked up.
Exactly. And then you paid to get this hush hush.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then pawned him onto someone else when he was cured.
Yeah.
That's
because you didn't want that blemish on your reputation.
Yes. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That part really was weird to me. I was like,
yeah.
What?
Because, you know, the way you wrote about them in the beginning, they seem so involved. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know.
They're socialites.
Yeah, they're socialites. They want him to be, you know, they're putting all this pressure on him. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And then you just disappear.
You just wipe your hands of your kid?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know. It was that part was really weird. I was like, foster care. And then I kept looking it up and I was like, did I read that right? And then I was, it was right. And then the guy ended up adopting him.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he's adopted by this doctor. He goes and lives with this doctor who has other kids around John's age. So he moves into this home. And as I mentioned before, John Daniel went on to graduate high school at Highland Park High School. Now, why school let him back in, I don't know.
I wonder if he got that stuff off his record or something like that.
But I'm wondering if they even have to because he's a juvenile.
Mm. And he didn't go to trial, so there's nothing really to note in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
A lot of sense.
Now, granted, the school let him back in, right? He's this new kid.
Mm-hmm.
It did not take very long for students to learn what he had done.
How they find out.
Yeah. But this might be where his original like birth parents come into play and they kind of pull some strings.
Yes.
Because weirdly enough, even after kids found out and were gossiping about it, there was no media coverage. There was no articles. There was nothing about his release. And the kids just kind of seemed to let it go after that. And they embraced him. And he was the editor for the school newspaper in high school. He was on the drama team. He was in all of these plays. He was an honor student. He graduated with honors. Like,
they really gave him a second chance.
They did.
They sure did.
Yep. He then graduated from high school and went on to attend the University of Texas in his home city, Austin, Texas, where it all started.
Yes.
And I read where former classmates of John Daniels were given no information that he had been released. Like, someone even wrote that the day Mr. Grayson died, they actually thought that they had lost two people because they were like, oh, we'll never see John Daniel again. Like, because
he probably fled, you know, and just is in the wind.
Right. Correct. And that's a very healthy assumption to make.
Correct.
So a classmate of John Daniels saw him on the University of Texas campus on the quad and stood there like locked in fear. Like she was like, I didn't know what to do. I just stood there.
Yeah.
Yeah. One student said they then saw him on the same campus and they said it took everything they had not to walk across the quad and punch him in the face.
Warranted.
Mm-hmm.
That's warranted. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's warranted.
One woman saw John Daniel in town at a coffee shop. He came up behind her. She was with her child and was like, hey, haven't seen you in so long.
Yes, did you shout our teacher and then left our classroom?
Right. Yeah. And she said, I literally had my child so tight around me I thought she was going to scream. She said, all I could do was sit there and play nice because what else was I going to say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know, whatever you can say could upset him and cause him to go into a fit.
Right.
And granted, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a gun with him, but he's got this.
Like, could you imagine thinking you were never going to see this person again? Mm-hmm. And here they are just walking your campus.
Yeah.
In your coffee shop.
Chilling.
Just chilling. Hanging out.
No problems. Like, we're in the same space. The only difference is, like, you murdered someone and I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, and murdered
with
them
21
in cold
of us
blood,
sitting there.
In cold blood. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, haven't seen you in a while. If you don't get up out of here.
And you ain't going to.
If you don't get up out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Mm-mm. Nope. Because a lot of these kids, like, wrote, because in the same article, like, they got interviewed and stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were like, no one taught us how to deal with this trauma. Like, a bunch of us had to figure it out on our own. Like, a bunch of us never saw each other again because we all went separate ways. We went to separate high schools. Mm-hmm. We were so traumatized. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't know what to do.
Yes.
And then you never resolved this trauma. And now you're just sipping your chai latte. And in walks John Daniel.
Mm-hmm. You're just like, and everything just comes back. All the things that you tried to repress, all the things that you tried to forget. And then you see this person, this person who shook your world up and did this crazy thing in front of you like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I couldn't imagine what that'd be like.
I would have probably screamed.
I would have thought I saw a ghost.
I would have probably screamed.
Yeah. Now, there were questions on why John Daniel, after graduating from the University of Texas, why he was allowed to take the bar exam to become a lawyer. You know, that was the big argument online and all the forums that I was reading is like, why do they even let him take the bar? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I can answer that. The bar only requires you to disclose cases you are currently involved in.
And that was already...
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yep. There's a loophole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they never had to know what he did.
Wow.
He never had to disclose it.
And I wonder if he went into that field because of that.
You know, I thought the same thing.
Because
that's a little eerie.
Yeah.
It's a little eerie that you do that and then you go into the justice system.
Because, you know, your parents were, working you hard, Your mom is a lawyer, correct? And it doesn't seem like, at least from what you presented, that he never had an interest in that.
No, he wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, so, I mean, are you pretending to be a lawyer at this point?
Right. Are you acting?
Yeah, because it didn't seem like this was your life path when.
Right.
You know, so just a little weird to switch up.
It is. I agree. So what about Mr. Grayson's family and those who were affected by this tragedy? They were victims too. Well, Mr. Grayson's wife, also a teacher, sued the Christian family, and it was settled in court in 1981 for an undisclosed amount. Now, that money was then put into a trust for Mr. Grayson's son, Ian. And it also, when they got paid out, they instantly bought a bench in honor of Mr. Grayson. So like an honorary bench.
Was it on the school or like somewhere else?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was on his favorite running trail.
Oh.
Biking trail. Yeah. And actually, Laura stayed in the classroom. She remained in the classroom. She kept teaching, and she said that it was because of her husband that she kept teaching and making lives better. Yeah.
That would have been enough
for me. I don't know if I could have done it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
That would have been done for me.
But,
like, you took my husband, you think I'm a... Granted, not you per se, these students, but it could be any one of you. Because again, this is a student who was his favorite.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, his favorite.
Exactly. His favorite, yeah.
And this is what you did to them.
But she stayed.
Wow, she's better than me.
And then classmate John Ray took a different approach. He decided 40 years later to confront his past and he created a Facebook group called the Murchison / Mr. Grayson 40 years later.
Wow.
And he began inviting former classmates to this group as a safe space to kind of vent and catch up and talk about Mr. Grayson. And the Facebook wall just had many things about recounting the memories of Mr. Grayson and the amazing work he did in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Some remembered how Mr. Grayson took the entire class to New Orleans to see a King Tut exhibit. Others were excited to recall how he helped students launch a magazine called the Serendipity Doodah. Others thanked him in this group for his sharp and interesting way of making them think outside the box.
Wow.
And then about, I would say about 5 or 6 of them actually ended up meeting and they took a cleaning kit to his grave and cleaned his headstone for him.
That is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
What good kids.
They are, yeah.
Oh.
So Mr. Grayson was fondly remembered and could have made a huge impact on so many lives had his life not been taken. But I do appreciate, and I think his family appreciates, that his students kept his memory alive.
Yeah.
And they refused to let it tarnish and go in vain.
Mm-hmm.
So that is worth noting. But the family of John Christian has remained unchanged. They believe that John was a 13-year-old boy who fell into a deep psychotic state of depression and committed a terrible act.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he was supposed to be entitled to anonymity, which is like where he should have been anonymous because he was a juvenile.
Yes.
But because of who his father was, and his father was a public figure, therefore John's identity was very widely known and they do not appreciate this. This is not how he should have been drugged through the mud. Mm-hmm. Well, you shouldn't have done what you did.
Correct.
But they did say, however, John received intensive psychiatric treatment and was deemed to be no threat of further violence. He was released to live a productive, normal life. He has done all that the system has asked him to do, and they do not believe that any more should be asked of him, especially after years keep passing and he keeps maintaining a normal life with much success.
Because he's acting. I don't really know that. I don't know you.
I don't either. And I mean, we did a similar case, the James Gordon case. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a professor at a university.
Yes.
Completely reformed.
I hope you're reformed. Because if you've just been acting all this time, wow, you deserve an Academy Award.
Yeah.
An Emmy.
Yep.
A Grammy, something. Because.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm. I do think that because of who's John, and like there were several articles that mentioned this. Laura, Mr. Grayson's wife, actually knew one of the people that worked at the juvenile facility or something at the time that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady called her and was like, you know, it's just really sad because there's two Hispanic boys that I just locked up for over 5 years for just robbing somebody. And here John is, who killed somebody.
On purpose.
And he's going, yeah. And like, and I do think it had to do with him being from a socioeconomic white family who had ties to the president.
Absolutely. Yeah. They swept it under the rug. If he would have been a regular plain Jane, he would have still been in jail today.
And they said that. Yeah, they were like, had he been a normal person from a lower income family, maybe, and definitely a person of color, Hispanic or Black, it would have been a completely different outcome.
Sure would have.
But that is the case that Alexandra had asked us to cover, and I hope I did it justice.
Okay.
I found this to be very interesting to research. There's a ton on this case. We would be here all night.
Yeah.
So.
And Brantisha is tired, so we can't do that.
Yeah.
Wow. My husband's already in the bed. Thanks for bringing us that.
Yeah.
Craziness. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right, y'all. Well, I'm tired. So, as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So, I will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.